So here we are back again in the Kalmar Stembus, day six, the first interview of the day. We are in lovely Groningen in the north of the country. We have in the bus with us Max Schreder from Con Adelaar. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you especially for coming all the way to Groningen, because of course we planned to interview you when we were in Hellevoetsluis with the Kalmar Stembus, but you were on holiday then, so an extra special thank you for coming here to Groningen today.
Yeah, very worthwhile.
So, you are the CEO of Con Adelaar, which is like the biggest grower, licensed grower in the wheat experiment. And you are the only producer that only grows in greenhouse and not in indoor facility. Why is this?
Well, we think the growing in a glasshouse is the most sustainable way, because we are using lot less energy than any other way of producing, so we are putting much less CO2 into the air per kilogram of wheat produced, so that's the reason why we are doing it. And we think nobody would grow tomatoes in the indoor facility, so, and we think cannabis should be seen as a normal plant, and it is a God-given normal plant, so grow it like a normal plant.
Mm-hmm. So just use the sun mainly, because you also have some additional lighting, I think.
Yes, unfortunately in the Netherlands you would still need a bit of extra lighting like you do in tomatoes or chili peppers. So yes, we have, but we make the most of the sun we are getting. So it's really a smart system steering it, and only when there is not enough sun we would use additional electric lighting.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to find a location for the grow facility back when you started?
Well, that depends how to define difficult. Yes, we had to look at a lot of locations, and it all depends on what you are looking for. For cannabis, is rather special. So we were looking for a location that's, from a security standpoint, out good, and then also from that we don't have too many neighbors, and also size-wise, and also what was already there has to fit into the way we are growing.
Mm-hmm. Because the greenhouse that you use, it was already there, and I think it was used for tomatoes. Eh?
Absolutely correct. Yes, it was used for tomatoes, although it's only the outer structure that is still intact. The rest was completely changed and renovated and, of course, adjusted to cannabis.
Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the main lessons that you've learned up till now in the experiment, setting up the facility, the whole journey up till now? What would be the main lessons learned?
Don't underestimate how smelly you are and how much the neighbors are concerned about the smell. Mm-hmm. So that is of course a lesson we learned the hard way, and I think we fixed it by now, and we should have taken it more serious in the beginning. That was the main lesson learned. The other lesson, but that we knew already from other markets, is that is extremely important to have very good regulations and good cooperation with the regulators, which is here in the Netherlands really good, I have to say. Yeah.
This is interesting, because what I know certainly from a lot of coffee shop owners is that there used to be at least a lot of distrust from especially, like, say, national government towards the cannabis industry, but your experience as one of the licensed producers is different.
Well, still, you have to look at it as on federal level, the cannabis weed is still illegal by law. So we are producing an illegal substance under this weed. You have to look at it that way. And so it's okay. It's not like we are, you know, brewing beer there. That would be much more laid back, or growing tomatoes. So we kind of live with the regulations, but they're okay. Mm-hmm. I have to say,
because Con Adelaar does not only have the facility here in the Netherlands, but also in Austria, I think.
Yes, in Austria and in Canada as well, where we are producing for the medical market and the recreational market. And in Austria, we are producing predominantly CBD flowers, so low THC for various things, smoking products, but also for extraction.
Okay, but there is like experience with growing cannabis on a, like, say, large scale.
Oh yes, yes, there is, and also with regulators. So so
that can also be useful, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's, of course, I could take a very strong stance against regulations, as you would normally do. But again, a balanced view is what I would think is the fairest point.
Yeah, you could argue that after so many years where there is just prohibition, you can be happy to have a system and maybe hope for the future for it to be more, say, lenient or less stringent, say.
Yeah, 100%. I'm 100% against prohibition. I have to be very, very clear. The reason is it does not work. It's a simple thing. It does not work. I mean, nobody, and I see no government until now in Europe which has saying we don't want legalization, but we have something else which is better, like, and we have a better form of prohibition. Nobody's coming up with that. So I think it's rather, let me say, intelligent to look for other options than just saying no. Mm-hmm. And that would say, yes, let the consumer make an informed choice.
Yeah. One thing I'm curious about, I also asked it to the main grower of Linsburg, who we had in the bus earlier this week, is how do you choose the varieties that you grow at Canala? How does that the procedure sort of work?
We try to listen to the shops and also to the consumers. We are having a quite extensive database, so to speak, of varieties that we have in stock, and we know from other businesses we run what is going good, what is going not so good, and also we always have to test on each specific site which variety is thriving under that conditions.
Yeah.
So that's how we are picking.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, say, like clear favorites in the varieties that people really favor over other ones, or is it more?
Well, for us, it's our Skywalker Kush and Wedding Cake that are really like the ones that are have been picked up here by consumers in an incredible way. We also have a new Amnesia, and we call it Amnesia Mastercut, which is also going really, really good. And the rest of the strains, we try to keep it, you know, interesting enough, let's say, by taking one strain out, putting another strain out there, and then see how the consumer is deciding, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a normal market phenomenon that people get used to a certain product and they drop it, choose for another one.
Yeah.
The competition also is there, so it's good. It's nice.
And are there like a lot of changes in say the varieties that you grow, or is it more like you pick one and there you go for say a year or 2 years? How does that work?
No, really, we are constantly looking at new strains, new varieties, and trying to improve, meaning better taste profiles, higher yields, more resistance against insects as we are growing bio. Then also the THC content, unfortunately, plays a big role for the consumer. So higher THC contents is also a thing to look for. Unfortunately, I have to say, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I want to know a bit more about that. You say, unfortunately, it is. Why do you think it's not right that the consumer places so much emphasis on the THC percentage?
Well, it would be like judging wine by just the alcohol content. Nobody does that. Picks up a bottle of red wine and says, oh, that got 15%, must be a pretty good one. Nobody does that. And it's just so unjust towards the product, the flowers, where we're taking so much effort in. And when you see how many different tastes there are, and just from the effect side, the THC is not, it's alone would not get you high or stoned. The easy proof is when you take dronabinol, which is pure THC, you will not develop any high after 2 weeks of heavy doses when you're a patient for medication. Mm-hmm. So it's always that combination. So it does not tell anything really about for the consumer. So it's, that's the reason why I'm saying, unfortunately, the THC content has become such a big thing.
So would you even say it's better not to put it on the package and say, for instance, put the terpene profile on the package?
terpene profile difficult to read. My favorite thing would be to put like a range of THC values on it, for example, on flowers, the tested average of the batch, which we have now on the back with the flowers, and replace it by a range of plus minus 2%, 4%, which would be scientifically even more precise because the testing method is not even that precise like it seems on the batch back with one THC value. So,
and even as most growers I'd say would know, is that even within the same plant, if you have like the lower branches, the smaller buds can have a different THC percentage than the buds right up top there. So, like you say, it's not it gives a false sense of accuracy. Is what I think.
Oh, 100%. You are 100% correct. Our own tests have shown that within a batch we have deviations by plus minus 6%. Wow. So it's really, it's massive. It is massive, the differences.
Because I do think that people, when they see like, 21% THC, oh, really, really nice. But then, like you say, it can be 15.
100%. And it could be even also much higher. So a range would be scientifically more precise and would tell the consumer more. And I think the consumer should just always go like, okay, test it for yourself. See how the effect sets in. Are you happy with the effect or not? Do I like the taste? You know, and all that. That's much more important than anything else.
Yeah. We already discussed it a bit, the smell issue, the complaints about the smell that Canadler has gotten. What's the exact status right now? Because I know there has been this court case and there has been like a threat of having big fines for Canadler, but ever since that there's been total media silence. So what's like the current status of this?
Well, as we told from the beginning, we are finishing by now the last steps that we promised to do in our filtration system, and the complaints gotten down now. Last week we had 9 complaints in a total week, and we are also looking at further reducing that, so it will go away. And we were pretty sure from the beginning. I just have to excuse again that it took us so long time, and of course a lot of money, but we are happy to spend that.
Yeah, because I visited the facility in August, and I was indeed impressed with rows and rows of carbon filters to lessen the smell. But I can imagine it must be a bit of a paradox, because of course, if your plants smell, then you're doing a good job growing them, you know?
100%. That's what I'm always saying is, please, we must not reduce the smell of the plants. Yeah. In fact, we are looking at increasing it and doing, you know, because it's then a better product.
Yeah. And then it's just a question of good filtering and, yeah. Right. The other sort of bad PR that I have to get into, because people, they know about it, you know, the people that follow the weed experiment. Two break-ins, one was a while ago, one was more recent. I saw on nu.nl and even other news outlets that the total stock of Canadler had been stolen. And exactly because I have visited the facility, I knew for sure this cannot be true. You cannot get that into one, van like that. Can you tell us a bit, comment first on that estimate, that everything that you had was stolen?
The thing here is, it was the police put out a very brief statement, and that statement was correct, but it was not sufficiently precise, let me put it that way. And one media outlet took it up and read it like everything is gone. And as you have rightly said, it would have taken much more than what we've seen here. Further than that, I cannot comment on it, as the investigations are still ongoing. And I just want to make clear that until now, every single one who tried to burglar us has been caught. So it's no, I think it's the worst idea in the world to come to our place and try to steal stuff. It's really, it's just not smart.
There's cameras everywhere, and
Yeah, we have multiple electronic measures to detect, protect. Usually we even detect people when they're just approaching the fence. So it makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. There are way more easy things to steal money.
Okay. Yeah, this is what we call in Dutch a koffiedik question. What do you think the Dutch cannabis industry will look like in 10 years, 2035?
As always, predictions are very, very difficult, especially when they are reaching into the future. I think we seeing that dance of legalization, two steps ahead, one step back, three steps ahead, four steps back, and it's always that, but the overall movement is in the right direction, meaning everybody understands prohibition does not work, we have to find other ways, or even the tolerance policy, to be honest, has come to certain degree to an end. There has to be a clearer and, let me say, more rational way to it, and that will lead ultimately to legalization in one form or the other. Is it in the form that we see now in the weed experiment? Maybe not. Maybe it's a different form or shape or whatsoever, but the ultimate direction, and this is a good thing, will be legalization.
Another question I'm thinking of, you are German, of course. Germany is legalizing, but no Fachgeschäfte, no commercial shops. How big is the chance that you will move back to Germany when you get a job there for recreational industry?
Unfortunately, nobody listened when I was saying, please, please, look at the Netherlands. They have set up a really, really smart thing. It's called Weed Experiment. I'll explain you all the details of it. And nobody wanted to listen. I don't know why that is, that people think that in Germany, the Dutch drugs policy failed, because it's not. You have 20% people dying of hard drugs in your country compared to the total number of inhabitants. So the drugs policy in the Netherlands is by far more successful than Germany. And the I don't see a big chance that in Germany we are seeing fast moves into legalization. At the moment is more like two steps back with our new government, and that we would see changes there, especially in the medical system.
But not so much recreational.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not unfortunately not. Unfortunately not.
We hope that the new members of parliament that will be chosen on Wednesday will also watch some of these interviews. If you could give them some advice, these new members of parliament, about cannabis policy, about the weed experiment, what would you say to them?
I would say listen to all stakeholders, meaning do not only listen to police, do not only listen to doctors, also listen to people that like to consume cannabis, listen to people who are selling cannabis in coffee shops, listen to current producers. You know, there's a wide variety of it, and then make yourself an informed decision. And ultimately, always look at the bigger picture, seeing how successful has prohibition been. And then the answer is pretty clear, not very successful, so look for a different way.
Very clear. Thank you very much, Max, for coming on the Canna Stembus.
Yeah, Dirk, thank you very much, and all the best for your whole enterprise here, and that the people are choosing a good party, and I'm very, very optimistic that will be a good outcome for the election.
It's certainly exciting to see what will happen with the end result of the election.
100%.